Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Hello, America. Welcome back. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you've been hanging around, thank you for that very much. It's my pleasure to be here with you, and it's like a dream come true for you. It is, and it also is for Wayne Cruz. Wayne's Vice President and Director of Technology Studies at, that's him laughing in the background, at Competitive Enterprise Institute, and he's our good friend, longtime member of our Brain Trust, and original member, actually. Wayne Cruz, welcome back.
Thanks a lot, Jim. I like that lead-in you have. I'd heard that one before. Teamwork is a bunch of people doing what I say.
That's exactly right. That's the way it works around here. At least it's the way it's, at least that's the way my folks around here lead me to believe that it works. But the truth is I work for them as the way it usually turns out. They let me do what they want me to do and then make me feel like it's my idea. Wayne, very interesting times these days. Because of all the technology that we have is allowing us to move information and to share information and to be productive with information. But some of this information is information that needs to be protected. And right. Sometimes it's not always protected. There are failures, sometimes because of it's just something that failed, or sometimes because somebody did something that was criminal. And for whether it be because they wanted some information or they just wanted to create some havoc, and there's a little bit of finger pointing going on these days, isn't there?
That's right. Jim, you know, a long time ago, I'd get on the phone here with you, and we would talk about email spam.
Right.
And those were the easy days.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
At least the spammer typically didn't really know who you were. He was just buying dictionary emails and doing dictionary attacks.
All we knew now was we wanted to get our hands on their neck, didn't we?
That's right. I mean, now what's happening is identity theft, phishing, which is, you get an email that looks like it's from PayPal or looks like it's from Amazon or looks like it's from your bank, and they say click this link and re-enter your personal information because it's been lost. Meanwhile, it's a criminal on the other end who's just harvesting that information and either using it or compiling it and selling it to these underground networks of identity thieves and credit card thieves, or farming. Now, sometimes it's gotten so bad that even when you type in the email, type in the URL up in the address bar at the top of your website,
right,
that you can still go to a fraudulent site if your computer's been hit by a certain kind of virus.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a serious, serious identity theft problem. In a lot of ways, though, some of the things that we had talked about before, the lack of authentication online because we have this public net, which is not a proprietary network, nobody really owns it. Anybody can go into a public library or a Starbucks and get online. So we have this public internet where authentication, knowing who it is that you're dealing with, is actually who they say they are, is a real problem. Now, there's some solutions on the way. They're different. They're new kinds of identity, where you just don't enter a PIN number or a password or something like that, but things get a little more sophisticated, that ultimately are the solution. And luckily right now, it is the case that if your credit card data gets stolen, your liability is limited, to
$50. Bucks.
Mm-hmm. So, in that limited sense, you can say, well, for the consumer, the problem is, in that limited sense, solved. But that doesn't change the fact that these thieves are out there and creating problems for the merchants,
right,
and for the credit card companies.
Which we saw last week.
That's right, and for the credit issuer. So we have a real problem on our hands, and we have to work through issues of liability and things of that sort.
Well, what you described a minute ago was what we call market solutions.
Mm-hmm.
There are two kinds of solutions, folks. One is, of course, two primary solutions. One is market solutions, and the other is government solutions.
Well,
of course,
we need some legal ones, too.
Well, we need a little bit of both, but the thing, the key is, and this is what you work hard every day on,
that's
Wayne,
right,
is making sure that we don't have. We have just enough of both kinds.
There you go.
But with a deference to the market approach.
That's because right.
We need to let the market lead and the government fill in the gaps. Now, that's my opinion. What do you think?
I think that's exactly right. Basically, your situation is this. Fraud online and theft online is already illegal, just like it's illegal in the normal world. It's illegal online. If you try to outlaw something or say you can't assimilate certain kinds of data, or you can't organize certain transactions.
Right.
Just like in the spam debate, the criminals just ignore that.
Right.
Spam's been illegal for over a year, but it's still pouring into our mailboxes.
That's right. It's been illegal to rob banks. Been illegal to rob banks for years, but they still do it sometimes.
That's right.
Stand by, Wayne. Quick break. Right back with Wayne Cruz. He's with the Competitive Enterprise Institute. 22. We'll be right back. Stay with us. After you've had it. We're back at 17-2. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. That's Dan Fogelberg in the background. From the Innocent Age album, if you're interested, it's an outstanding album. Wayne Cruz knows who Dan Fogelberg is. That's probably... Dan, Wayne, that's you on bass, isn't it?
It might be. I remember Fogelberg.
Yeah, he's good.
I think his counterparts, Loggins and Messina, are playing
Vice President and Director of Technology Studies at Competitive Enterprise Institute, Wayne is, and an old friend of ours, longtime member of our Brain Trust. Wayne, give us your website, please.
It is www.cei.org. And go there to check out, we're a regulatory policy think tank. We do some tax and budget, but that's not where our emphasis is. Our emphasis is really on the regulations that affect businesses and that affect consumers.
And your 10,000 commandments that we've reported many times on the show over the years is going to be ready this week, later this week?
I expect it's going to be out this Wednesday, and as soon as I know that for sure, I'll let you know.
If you can't wait, go to Wayne's website and check it out. But if you're lazy and you'd like to hear us talk about it, just wait a couple of weeks or so. We're going to get Wayne back and talk about that. Wayne, we're talking about, folks, the cybersecurity issues and what you call, Wayne, the finger pointing. Last week... This is just an example of, I heard someone one time when they were talking about the internet calling it the Wild Wild Web, and which is a really good thing. And you used the word normal, the normal world earlier, and I'm glad you didn't use the word normal to talk about the internet. But the thing is that last week about 40 million customers' information was breached by a hacker. I don't know if we know if the person was just being malicious or if they were trying to steal some information. I guess we can assume that they probably were the latter. But it wasn't even one of the credit card companies that lost it. It was a central vendor for many of them, wasn't it?
That is the case. And see, that's one of the issues we have. It's easy to imagine if we get careless with public policy and start suing companies or start passing legislation that lets one set of entities sue another, but not vice versa, you can end up with a lot of finger pointing and a lot of mismanagement in the marketplace. In this case, it was a vendor who probably is liable. There's no doubt that in their contract they would have to make good on what's occurred here. What I fear in this debate is, in this frenzy, no matter what kind of laws get passed, the bad guys are going to still continue to steal data. So what I'm worried about is us looking at the credit card companies, the people who are victims of the theft, not even the perpetrators of it, but the credit card company whose data is breached is not the one to punish. But that's what some of our legislative impulses would seem to be doing.
Some congressmen and women and senators have already started talking about this.
Well, they've done it in California. What they're doing is they're passing what they call disclosure mandates. Now, if there's a breach of data, the company has to report it. Well, now, by and large, I'd say in most cases that probably makes sense. But I can also envision, say, if there's a software breach or something like that, that publicizing a breach could end up doing more harm than good.
Mm-hmm.
And so you probably would want to do that on a case-by-case basis. But even more than that, the problem with that kind of approach, a disclosure mandate with huge fines and punishments for the company that gets attacked, is that it ignores the perpetrator. The criminal is the person who did the hacking, not the entity. And, you know, we say it's the big credit card companies and they can handle this, but, you know, there are always levels and tiers of companies that are hurt by these kinds of mandates. And they'll hurt smaller entities or smaller entities that want to go into the kind of data aggregation or data mining.
Well, this issue we were just talking about, I can already see how it's going to hurt some innocent bystanding small businesses.
That's what I fear. And even worse, Jim, you know, you've never had me on talking about it, but there's this accounting law called Sarbanes-Oxley.
We've talked about it many times on the show. Yeah. We talked about it before it was the Sarbanes-Oxley.
That applies to public companies. Well, I have even seen hints, you know, bubbling up from in Washington, D.C., that kind of parallel to Sarbanes-Oxley, you would have cybersecurity mandates or cyber audit mandates where companies' CEOs or presidents, you know, depending on whether it's a public company or not, would have to sign off on a cybersecurity audit. Now, can you imagine the paperwork nightmare? And we already have this anonymous net.
It's going to basically make the United States uncompetitive in that world.
You better believe it. It can't be sustained. It's a ridiculous idea. Huge paperwork burdens doesn't solve the problem, which ultimately, as we talked about a little bit earlier, as opposed to them being legal problems, fraud is already illegal, theft is already illegal. What we have on our hands is a technological problem that the marketplace is going to have to solve. This is just one of many, many, but Hewlett-Packard has just come out with new laptops with the biometric reader for a thumbprint.
Right. IBM's got one, too.
That's right. IBM does. So you can imagine banks adopting this kind of technology, which creates a wave of pressure and incentive for other entities to adopt it, too, and suddenly the problem goes away.
Mm-hmm.
So you have
and that's because this is an example of where technology solved a technology problem.
That's right.
The marketplace led the way, and that's not something that could take that long to ripple through. In fact, you know, even if you didn't want to change your device, this could probably be a SCSI to be added onto your machine.
That's right. You can have different tiers. I mean, you can say, well, I'm so worried about cybersecurity, I'm going to go to this bank that reports to me with an email every time there's a purchase on my card. I don't want to wait 30 days for a statement.
Right.
Now, there are all kinds of interim ways to deal with that.
Hold on to that thought, Wayne. We're going to take a quick break. We've got more to come with our good friend Wayne Cruz. He's with the Competitive Enterprise Institute. It's 10 till. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. The small business advocate, Wayne Cruz, is our guest. He's with Competitive Enterprise Institute. That's CEI.org, right, Wayne?
That's right.
CEI.org. You can find out all about Wayne there and Fred Smith and all the other folks, good folks there at CEI. Wayne's the director of technology studies and vice president. Wayne, do you know of anybody on Capitol Hill who gets what you and I are talking about, who understands that we've got to let the marketplace lead and let the government take sort of fill in the holes that are left? Are you concerned that there are more shrill people up there who are demanding that the government take the lead?
Well, I'm a little more concerned about the latter. There's a tendency to react and, you know,
overreact, I think is the word.
I think legislation is the answer. Someone who's really good on this is FTC Commissioner Orson Swindle.
Right.
He has always said that the marketplace needs to take the lead role. He was doing this when we were having similar fights over the email spam debate and spyware and things of that sort. But there's this impulse to say, well, if we pass such and so a mandate, like the disclosure one, for example, then that will help. That'll mean government fills in the gaps. But like I say, the problem is one of authentication, and the behavior is already illegal. I think we're much better off. People are more wary now than they were before, so they're being careful. Credit card companies are reacting by letting you know sooner if there's any suspicious activity on your account. You know,
did you see what MasterCard did? They came out early. When this 40 million breach hit last week, they came out way early. In fact, so I don't even know if the other companies have even come out and said what happened.
That's right. They let people know early. And see, so when disclosure makes sense, companies are already coming out and doing it. A mandate, as we talked about a little bit earlier, in some cases the disclosure may not make sense and it may cause more harm than good. So we'll work through this. We'll have to see. There are going to be a lot of speed bumps on the way, but that's the way the net has been in a lot of ways, but the benefits vastly outweighed the cost.
Wayne, is the finger pointing and the lawsuits going to get down to not just the company that was the vendor in this case, for example, just use that one case as an example, but also get down to the people who provide the technology, the software companies?
Yeah, see, as soon as you start the finger pointing, as soon as government imposed liability becomes the mode, different groups are going to point at others and say, well, it was their fault. Well, it was this corporation's system administrator's fault because they never installed the patch. No, it was the software company's fault because they didn't send the patch on time.
Right.
So it goes back and forth.
Ones will say, well, they didn't install the patch properly. This one person didn't do their job.
That's right. So you end up with just a tremendous round of lawsuits. Better is what we're already seeing, which is the rise of what you might call cyber insurance, where companies buy insurance policies to protect against these kinds of suits.
Is that like errors and omissions and malpractice insurance type things?
Something like that. And even individuals or small businesses can buy cyber insurance packages as a part of homeowners policies and things of that sort.
Right.
So I'm hoping that, if we talk about this in a year or something, things will have moved a lot better. And also, remember, too, the irony in a lot of this of the federal government claiming to be protector when a lot of times the data that gets stolen is a Social Security number. And once you know somebody's Social Security number and mother's maiden name, you pretty much can have their life.
Right.
Well, that will change. Now, there is proposals, I think even Ron Paul, the libertarian, to outlaw the use of Social Security numbers. Now, there's something to be said for that, but on the other hand, you can't suddenly pull the rug out from under commerce. What you have to do is say, well, if we're going to make that transition, we need to make it over a certain period of years or whatever. You can't just, if it's been used that way, you can't suddenly turn it off, but you can put in place a transition.
Are we going to be worried about this 3 years from now? Is this still going to be a concern?
I hope not.
Years from now?
I'm hoping that the new advances, what it'll be is in 2 years, a mother's maiden name and a four-digit PIN won't be enough for anything anymore.
Right.
You'll have to provide two-factor identification. It might be a PIN number of a certain type.
You'll have to come up with a trifecta. You'll have to get all three right, won't you?
You better believe it. And you'll have, and you may see more things like IBM's thumbprint, or you may even see. If you have a special investment account, you may not want to have
biometric security. That's going to be the key, I think.
That's right. You may not want anybody to have access until you look into a retina scanner to get to your account.
Thank you for being here today, Wayne. Good
job.
My
pleasure.
We'll see you next time. Wayne Cruz, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back. I will be too after these messages. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Don't go away. I'll be back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.